What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. We're talking about the economic news. Japan has spent $20 billion in its intervention to support the yen. People are struggling, governments are struggling all over the world trying to keep this house of cards standing up just a little bit longer. Okay, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Bruce in Texas. Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, hello, Mike. First of all, Credit Suisse and credit default swaps. Boy, that's a bad
situation. Yeah. It was back in 2008. Bruce, are you there?
Sorry. Hello?
Yeah. We lost you there for a second.
Yeah, okay. My phone's going berserk. Credit default swaps. How about that? Here we go again with a too big to jail and bail them out, huh?
Well, they may not be too big to fail. I mean, we did see Lehman Brothers collapse in 2008. And, you know, we could see these big banks that are overextended and, you know, derivatives are kind of a form of gambling.
Yeah, to me, they're just a criminal enterprise. I don't know. It's more than gambling. There's a lot of insider trading there, and they predict these things before anybody else does, you know.
Okay.
That's how I see it. And
frankly, I think they should be made illegal because, you know, when the economy is doing good, you can get very, very rich on derivatives. But when the economy reverses, then it becomes a weapon of mass destruction.
Yes, it does. And we all pay the price there.
Yes, we do.
I saw an interesting thing on RT. It was a statement by a Russian military person or so. No. An engineer involved in the manufacturing of the Nord Stream pipeline, and he said the walls on the pipeline were like a millimeter smaller than the armor on the T-34 tank.
Yeah, it's a very heavily armored pipe.
Yes, it is. And also, it was encased in concrete. Is that your understanding as well?
It's got concrete footings, but, you know, I have to be honest, I don't know the actual structure. I know there's the heavy steel pipe, there's some kind of a coating on the inside to inhibit rust, and they're concerned right now that the seawater that got into the pipeline may destroy that coating and the pipeline will start to rust, but the latest word out of Russia is they think they can fix it.
Yeah, well, let's see. Well, there's a war going on, too, you know. If it was encased in concrete, that's pretty much what I saw. Of course, maybe just sections of it are, but if that's the
case... Well, the problem with encasing it in concrete is if you're going across a seismically active zone, you know, there's going to be some ground movement and the pipe has to flex to accommodate that. Along with, you know, I mean, just as the pipe gets warmer and colder in the seawater, there's got to be some room for it to expand and contract.
Right, yeah, and I haven't seen any video or photographic surveys of the sites that have been destroyed yet. It'll be interesting to see them once they come out, if they're ever allowed.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, and those helicopters, they may have been remotely setting off the timer for them to go off. You know, pre-positioned. And
yeah,
then,
it would have to be done with some kind of a drone. The water there is too shallow for like a full submarine to get in and out unnoticed.
Right, okay. And the explosions are recorded on a seismograph?
Several seismographs in the region picked up the blasts.
Well, that's pretty heavy explosive there.
Oh, yeah, well, they'd have to be to get through that structure.
Yeah, bigger than what a small drone, undersea drone could carry. Unless, and now you're going to shoot me down, but that's okay. Unless there were miniature nuclear devices that they used to do the explosion.
Well, I think they estimated that it was 500 kilos to 700 kilos of TNT equivalent.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy.
You know, they might have used Torpex, or they might have used Octol or something like that.
Yeah, we'll never know really until we get photographs. So
yeah,
we'll just keep all that in mind. Okay, that's all I had.
All right, thank you. We're going to go to Sebastian in Sweden. Hello, Sebastian. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hello, Mike. I was just thinking about your operation. How's your eye?
It's great. It's absolutely
okay.
Great. And, you know,
because
I'm looking forward to getting the other eye done now.
I'm getting both at the same time. Is that a little
Well,
bit
you're
weird?
A man of courage. I mean, I asked if they could do that with me,
I know, get it over with.
They said no.
They
wouldn't let me do that.
Do you want it to do it, or?
No, I wanted to. I wanted to just say, do both eyes. Let's, you know, I'll get around with the seeing eye dog for a few days.
Wow. Okay.
You know, but they wouldn't let me do that. So the left eye is going to be done on the 11th.
Okay. My right eye is worse than my left eye. If I had to do one at a time, I would get the right eye done first.
That's what they did in my case, yeah.
Yeah. I just want to tell you something about the, there was a Swedish naval vessel that was in the area of the pipelines that were around the area that they were blowing up. And they stayed there from Thursday to Saturday. And the pipelines were blown up on Monday. Now, this is, I'm reading this from a Swedish newspaper, Dagens Nyheter, and they really, all the newspapers are government. But these, they at least have investigative journalists, right?
Yes.
At this paper. And I was thinking, wow, you know, investigative journalism in Sweden, that was unheard of since the 70s. There used to be lots of investigative journalists in the 70s in Sweden, but not anymore. But as far as Sweden concerned, we're sort of bunkering down for the winter. It's going to be a hard winter here.
Yes, it is.
The electricity bills are sky high. The food is unbelievable. It's a little package of hot dogs for like 2 weeks ago. I mean, 3 weeks ago, they were like $2, and all from $2 to $3.50.
Yes.
Just over 1 week, just like that.
We're seeing that here. We're seeing that here. We did, Claire and I did our Walmart run on Saturday, and we were taken aback by how much larger the bill was.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. And then as far as Tom concerned, it's the same thing here. We get bombings every weekend, like people, these gangs, there must be at least 50 in Sweden. They had the drug trade in Sweden, and
yeah.
they bomb apartment buildings in the entrance of apartment buildings, right? Saying,
yes.
You can't do this, and oh, it's just terrible. 50 shootings, killings so far this year, and that's a record. So we'll see what happens. They haven't built a government yet in the Swedish Congress, but they're working on it. And the Swedish Democrats, the largest party that's building the government, but they don't want them to get so many government positions, you know. It's the neoconservatives. And then there's the Christian Democrats. And then in the middle, on the, like the balance of the scale of the two different political spectrums, there's the liberals. And the liberals are the worst because they can jump. If they don't like anything that's happening, they just go over to the Social Democrats and the left and the center party and the Green Party, you know?
Yes.
So that could happen. But so far, it's going good as far as I know. I've been reading the papers and everything. It's going good so far. So within a week, they should have a government. And hopefully something's going to happen here. But, you know, that's the way it is in Sweden. But we still get a lot of shootings and bombings, you know, every weekend, car burnings, and something that you people probably don't even know about because, you know, the media doesn't tell you. And after 1st of February, if I call in and start talking about things like this, they can get my number because everybody has to have their... Give up their telephone. They're not going to have any more burner phones in Sweden. So they're going to have to. Yeah. So next, if I after the first of February, I'll have to speak really, you know, sort
openly,
of nice.
Please.
Exactly.
It's
okay.
Time
you
to go back
care.
To learning Morse code.
I know that. I used to. I could do 125 words a minute.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I
think I could maybe get four letters out in a minute.
Yeah. I was doing it so fast that I would have to wait. I couldn't write fast enough. So I would be a whole sentence after in writing. But that's gone now, but I still can do pretty good. I try to practice, you know, because it's a good thing to have a short wave.
Yes.
I'm a ham operator. I got a Swedish license.
Ah, well, one of these days I'm going to get my ham license because one of the listeners sent me a handheld ham radio, and in my copious amounts of free time, I'm studying to get my license.
Perfect. Very good. Okay, you take care of yourself and take care of Claire as well.
I certainly will do my best here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. We're going to go to Joe in Tennessee. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I hear him talking about that Nord Stream there. And one thing the guy talked about, blowing it up, and I'm sure they have, like, blowout preventer valves that shut it down, so only a section of the Nord Stream will be probably have to be replaced, whichever section, because I know, like, in the oil field, like, things like that happen, and it causes the pressure differential that causes the valves to shut off, and
yes.
Something like that, a low pressure like that, I'm sure they have...
Something, you know, the Deepwater Horizon did not have.
Well, they had one, but it was faulty.
It was a manual blowout preventer instead of an automatic one.
I thought that the one they had was just... not up to snuff, but
no, it was not being maintained, and it was a manual
right.
blow preventer, and it didn't work.
Yeah, well, it didn't work. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, this I just can't believe how reckless. I'm still like in awe of how reckless this act was, and I'm also in awe of how silent like the normal people that you know when Trump would say you know call Haiti a shithole or whatever, and how they all were outraged and they'd say how reckless it is with foreign, how reckless Trump was, and this is the most reckless act as a president that I can remember. I mean, he's put the whole industrial system of the West and the world as a target now, a legitimate
yes.
target. I mean, you know, you could run like a trawler through the English Channel with a big dredge and just cut every like fiber optic line and just do it overnight and put, you know, I mean, the vulnerabilities. I mean, I used to work on a cable ship, you know, so I
yes.
know like the vulnerabilities and the capabilities they have to like cut this stuff, you know, because we used to cut it and bring it up and repair it. But it takes time. But the point is how reckless, and nobody's calling them on it, you know? And they're saying, oh, Putin did it. Yeah, right. I mean, first of all, that's ridiculous. But
yeah.
it's just so unbelievable. Like, I'd like to know, like, all the Trump haters out there, they, you know, I guess the only comparative reckless thing Trump did was the attack on Soleimani, which I didn't agree with. I thought it was dumb. But that could have been called reckless. But this is so much different. It's like to the magnitude of 10. I mean, we got nuclear power Russia, you know, involved in a war, and they green light something like this, because whether the Americans did it themselves or they absolutely were at the decision-making table to do it. Now, I think we did it. I think probably there was SEALs with this mini submarine or something that went down there. They have these all kinds of tricky stuff they can use. I mean, they
yes,
can come
they
in on a fishing boat and launch SEALs off, you know, because they have these, like, special things that, you know, I know guys that work on offshore boats, that's their mission. They carry teams of SEALs, you know, and I'm not going to mention any boats or companies or anything, but that's what they do.
Okay.
And you got to have, like, all kinds of government clearances to even be on there, you know. But anyway, it's just the recklessness, you know, of this act and the vulnerability that we are in because of it. You know, it's just, and I guess that's what reckless means, putting so much at stake. And our vulnerability I really can't come up to any other conclusion that these people are nuts and they want world war and they want the population to die off. I mean, it's satanic what they're doing. One other thing is I'd like somebody to research the Israeli gas angle on this, because I know a friend, he was a captain, he used to fly out to like Ashkenaz or someplace like that, and Ashdod, and he was working on some LNG transfer operation out there. And mm-hmm. So the Israelis have a ton of gas, and they have a lot of like processing and stuff there. So I'm sure they're getting their shekels on this job. And it could have been an Israeli operation. Who knows? I mean, they have those German submarines, and they could be taking them from Germany and launch a team in.
The Dolphin-class subs don't have a lot of those capabilities. And again, that area of the water is so shallow, you would not get a full-size submarine in there or out of there without being detected. You know, because everybody's got radars on the surface of the water, and, you know, there are sensors on the seafloor as well. So, yeah.
They have these things that kind of sit on the bottom or on the side or even on the top of a submarine, and then they load a couple guys in there and they take off, you know, so they don't have to
mini-subs. Send
the sub all the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that, like, technology has really gotten good, you know. Now, one other thing, I hear a lot of people talking about crime, and there's this religious show that I was watching the other day, and they're all talking about the crime wave. And I started saying, well, let's face it, it's a black crime wave, because it is, you know. Mm-hmm. The blacks are out of control. I mean, they really are out of control. And then people are like, oh, get off this site. You know, we talk here about religion. I said, did you notice that all this stuff, all these cities where they knelt for Black Lives Matter, and they knelt for Black Lives Matter, that's their God. You know, you're only supposed to kneel for Jesus or for whoever your God is. They knelt for Black Lives Matter, which is a criminal organization, and it represents criminals. And now they're being swamped with crime. Well, that's your God. Your God is the black criminal. So enjoy it. This is the consequences, you see?
Yeah.
This is the consequences of what happens when you go, and you, even our Congress, remember that, Nancy Pelosi and Schumer? It was disgusting. And I was reading an article where the FBI agents that all came out in front of the FBI headquarters and knelt, like they're all like in big high positions now. Now they got their reward for kneeling before the black criminals. You know, that's what they got rewarded. But America, don't be surprised that these black criminals are running rampant, because that's what's happening. You know, everybody knows it, but nobody can even call attention to it. Because, oh, you might be called a racist, and oh, that's stigmatizing, that's stereotypical. It's the truth. It's the truth, and I'll speak the truth no matter what. I don't care if it costs me whatever, because it's the truth, and I'll stand by the truth. And the funny part of it is watching the consequences that's happening here. If you're living in a city with a large black population, you better get out, because if they'll do this when times are sort of good, think what's going to happen when the Russians do come and cut our cables and our gas supplies and EMP us or whatever. You know what what kind of craziness is going to go down? So I just hope all the lefties...
It's going to make Black Friday at Walmart look like a summer picnic. And, I mean, we're even noticing it around here. We were, again, Claire and I did Walmart on Saturday, and we were talking to the checker, and they put in all new security cameras right over the checkout stands. And she said, well, they used to be in the ceiling, but nobody could see them. Now they want you to see that the camera is there. And she says, already the shoplifting is becoming a bigger and bigger problem.
Well, I'm lucky. I live in Tennessee, and you can carry a gun here, and you can carry it concealed, or you can carry it open, and you don't need a permit or anything.
You can carry a gun here as well. You know, we just have changed that law in July, and you know. Anyway, listen, Joe,
right,
I gotta let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. 512-248-8252. Call on in.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
Welcome back to our show here. The phone lines are open, 512-248-8252, and let's talk about the border and immigration. Now, Bill Clinton has come on out criticizing the situation at the U.S.-Mexico border, and I think this is part of Hillary's strategy in 2024, is she's going to stand up and criticize Biden, saying, let the border wide open, we can't sustain it. And Bill Clinton was out there saying that we can't sustain the number of immigrants and something must change in the way things are being done. This was on CNN. So I think that's part of Hillary's campaign strategy. She's going to campaign on a strong border. Polls are showing that the open border is the second most important issue with the voters after the economy. So, yeah, she's running, and I knew she was going to run here. Over in New York City, despite its claim of being a sanctuary city, they don't know what to do with all the illegal immigrants being shipped up there. They've set up a huge tent city that's costing the taxpayers large amounts of money to sustain, which, of course, the people of Arizona and Texas and Florida, they've already been through it, having to deal with all these homeless people. And illegal immigrants here. So now the New York City is working on a deal for a Norwegian cruise ship to to be docked permanently in the harbor, and they're going to house the migrants there. I mean, talk about a sweet deal. You get a nice little room. It's cleaned up for you every single day. Your laundry's being done. You know, I mean, wow. I mean, when was the last time the government gave you free time on a cruise ship? I mean, that's really how silly it's getting. Now, a lot of the illegal immigrants in New York City have been offered a free ride down to Florida this weekend, where they're being told there will be hurricane cleanup work. Now, this article, which appeared in Hideout Now, isn't saying who's doing the busing and who's making the promise that there will be work for them down in Florida. Somehow, I don't think it's DeSantis. Okay. Now, over in Great Britain, there is this beautiful, beautiful mansion, Stoke Rochford Hall. It's in Lincolnshire. You've seen it in a bunch of movies, including some of the X-Men franchise. It does get a lot of play. It was used in The Legend of Tarzan. And now, all of a sudden, the Home Office is taking over this building to house their illegal immigrants. And as a result, the facility is having to cancel weddings that were already scheduled to take place there. Sorry, go someplace else to get married. We have to put the illegal immigrants up there. Now, in Hanover, Germany, they have set a quota that one-third of all jobs be filled by immigrants or people with migration backgrounds. They're out there saying, you've got to hire so many people. Now, here in the United States, under Title VIII, it is actually illegal to give work to an illegal immigrant. And I imagine if the Democrats maintain control of Congress, they'll probably go after that one as well here. And the Biden administration is making it easier for border crossers and illegal immigrants to secure American jobs after they are set free inside the United States. Now, back in 2019, Trump directed the Department of Homeland Security to stop fast-tracking work permits for illegal immigrants. And Biden is now reversing that so that, yeah, once they sneak into the United States, they can get a job permit, a work permit, and they can start taking jobs away from legal American citizens, which is already happening. It is already happening. Now, at the state level, this is Senator Josh Hawley has introduced a bill that would allow states to enforce the federal immigration law. In other words, if Washington, D.C. will not enforce Title VIII, Josh Hawley wants the states to be able to enforce it on their own, and that would make it easier to deport the illegal immigrants. Just take them down to the border, get a trebuchet, and just fling them back over and, you know, send them back on their way here. Meanwhile, of course, hand in hand with the illegal immigrants being smuggled across the border, there is the drug problem. And most Americans don't realize how bad the fentanyl problem has become and how many thousands of people are dying every single month of these overdoses. So anyway, in Pecos, Texas, they arrested and convicted a 26-year-old Jose Manuel Ayala for drug smuggling. He was the last of a group of seven defendants who were caught carrying marijuana from Mexico into Texas. So another reason to close the border, which Biden is not doing. He's in violation of his oath as president to take care of this country first. All righty. Now, over in Minneapolis, they used to be one of the epicenters of the Defund the Police movement. And as that earlier call mentioned, you know, you reap what you sow. And Minneapolis is now being called Murderopolis because they're dealing with this heightened levels of violent crime. And it, you know, when you take the police away, yeah, crime goes up. Big shockaroony there. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. 512-248-8252, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
And welcome back to our show here. We have open lines, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Dustin in New Jersey. Hello, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. It's not Joe Biden, it's Dark Brandon.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And you know his son, Hunter, would be Luke Skywalker, and they're both sporting giant crack pipe limited edition lightsabers. Mike, you know, I want to talk about Ukraine. Did you see all the trains heading to Kherson? Like, one of them was carrying like 17...
Yeah, I did.
Iskander vehicles. So they're all moving a lot of equipment over there, man. Like,
yeah, they are.
And you know, Ukraine's stuck with using T-55 tanks. Oh, my God. Mike, that's like getting into like an aluminum can.
Yeah.
You know, those
things up with a Swiss Army knife.
Oh, but they are upgraded. That's what... Where they come from, Slovakia, right? I think that, like, they're upgraded. They're just upgraded with the upkeep. They're not upgraded, you know. Like, I mean, it's just,
well,
you know,
I heard that they have a new and improved turret on them.
Oh, on the T-55?
Yeah.
A new and improved turret that's been sitting in a warehouse for like what, 30 years?
Who knows? Who knows? It's a war is a good excuse to get rid of the old hardware and then tax the people to buy new hardware.
Yeah, but man, I just saw a video of a TOS-1 going off, and the slow motion explosion shows like Ukrainian soldiers. You can't even tell they're soldiers, Mike. They're just being flung. I mean, and you know what's scary? With the drones. Did you see the Russian drones that drop like the fragmentation grenades? They're like modified.
I mean, yeah.
It's pretty like impressive how spot on it can be with those things. I mean, technology is incredible with the drones now. Like with that,
yeah, it is. Oh. I mean, even just the civilian ones. You know, the playthings. I saw this drone the other day. It's less than $100. You know, high-def camera shoots video, and we'll send a picture back to your smartphone while it's flying. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, I remember we spend, well, not me or you, the Pentagon spends, what, $500,000 on a camera, and the Russians buy a GoPro.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's...
I always laugh when people say, we spend $800 billion. Yeah, well, that doesn't mean anything. Are you getting its money, you know, is it money worth
spending?
Are
you getting the bang for your buck?
You figure for every dollar we spend on an item, like, probably Russia spends what, 50 cents or 30 cents? China probably spends like 25 cents. So, in actuality, if we spend $800 billion and China says, what, $300 billion? China's like right next to us in terms of spending.
In terms of actual warfighting capability, I mean, there is so much waste. You know, defense contracting is a huge, huge money-making racket, and it keeps producing junk like the F-35. And I'm amazed they got the Gerald R. Ford actually out there at sea. The Independence and Littoral class ships, they're never going to see combat.
Didn't they scrap them?
They're already saying, well, we got to go back to the drawing board and come up with a new system. And, you know, the concept behind the Freedom and Independence class ships was actually a good one, a modular design where you could reconfigure the ships very quickly for different tasks, but they never got it to work correctly.
Well, that goes back to like we're talking about the T-72 tank. Not the T-55. You know, T-72, that's the frame is what the TOS-1 is built on. So, I mean,
yes.
It's just upgradable using a standard frame. You know, obviously, you upgrade here and there, but you're not spending, like, a lot of money on a whole new piece of equipment. There's no reason to, you know?
Where you're going to use it. I mean, those smaller, lighter, older tanks... if you know you're going into a battle where you have supremacy with those weapons, it's perfectly legitimate to use them, But when you get main battle tanks head-to-head, then it gets to be a different story entirely.
You see what Krasny Liman, Russia had like 4,000 troops they pulled out. The Ukrainians came in with like 20,000 troops. They got hit by air support. Bad weather came in, the air support stopped. The Ukrainians reconfigured to move further in, and they all got stuck in the mud, and the air support came back, and they just got crushed.
The Ukrainians lost a lot of soldiers in the last couple of days.
Yeah, and you know what, Mike? You look at the West, the cosmopolitan elite, that's what it is. They just don't care about them, and they don't care about their... I mean, I go back to the Native Americans and the Vietnamese and us... the Iraqis, they just don't care, man. I mean, it's just, that's it.
No, they don't. If you have a war mindset, you basically do not see your enemy as human. That's why you always have slang to refer to the enemy, the Krauts in World War II, the Gooks in Vietnam, so forth and so on.
Pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Have a good one.
All right, thanks an awful lot, and we're going to go to Joshua in New York. Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so your family is part of the whole,
Underground Railroad.
So why don't you make it a point to mention every commercial, especially like in commercials, but also every time you come back on, like human trafficking is real, and you know, women are being trafficked, especially white women. You know, why don't you bring out target individual stuff?
Well, the Underground Railroad was not exactly human trafficking. It was an escape route for the slaves to Canada.
No.
They wanted to be there.
It was against human trafficking. What did you say? The railroad was for against human trafficking?
No,
Joshua, my turn.
The escaped slaves who took advantage of the Underground Railroad wanted to be there. Okay, that's the difference between the Underground Railroad and human trafficking. Now, I agree, human trafficking is tragic. I've been seeing a lot about it on social media lately. It is a huge problem. Down at the Walmart we go to, there's actually a big board up on the wall, you know, with all these reports about missing children. And the sad reality is that very few of these children are ever recovered. You know, the ones who are just runaways, they tend to be found. But the ones who are actually grabbed and forced into prostitution, it's virtually impossible to find them because they are intentionally sent long, long distances, you know, so that nobody knows who they are.
Okay, well, two things. One, that's why the internet's now around, and we all now understand this, and we can all understand that that's going on. And two, when it comes to human trafficking and all that, and children, why has nobody put that together? You just put it together. The children that are going missing, a lot of times, are being human trafficked. And like
yes,
you just
they
stated,
are.
They're going around the world. So my point is that you know all this. Why aren't you making it a point in your commercials, and more importantly, at the beginning of every segment of the show, to bring out the fact that it's human trafficking? And that women and children
are being covered. First of all, I don't get to pick the commercials. Okay, that's RBN. They pick the commercials, and you know, as far as human trafficking,
well, I bet you it's gonna be a trend.
Joshua, are you gonna let me talk, please? Okay, All right, Josh, we're gonna let you go here. Thank you very much, and. You know, we do cover human trafficking stories, but there is so much going on, I can't focus on just one item. Human trafficking is a big, big problem, and it would be nice if our government showed more of an interest in it, but they don't really seem to, partly because so many of these child protective services seem tangled up in this illicit trade here. Anyway, we have open lines here, 512-248-8252, and we're going to go to Glenn in Philadelphia. Hello, Glenn. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Well, congratulations on the for good progress on your lens.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm almost embarrassed how scared I was going in for the first surgery, and obviously I'm going to be a lot more mellow for the next one.
Well, Do you know the difference between major surgery and minor surgery?
I'm going to take a guess that minor surgery doesn't require general anesthetic.
No, minor surgery is surgery that's performed on someone other than you.
I'm not getting it.
In other words, if it's your surgery, it's always a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, it is. And, you know, I have not had a lot of surgery in my life, so it's not exactly something that I'm used to. But, like, yeah. You know, having been through it once with one eye, you know, the next time is going to be a breeze. And, you know, I'm just, you know,
like
I just want to get it over with now.
A minor car accident, is something's going to happen to somebody else, you know. But
yeah,
anyway.
I get it now. I get it now.
Yeah. I had that done a couple of years ago. Did they say anything about possible follow-up with YAG laser capsulotomy of the posterior capsule, possibly in the future? It's a common...
No, they talked about possibly looking at the aqueous humor to deal with possible floaters, but... We're not going to go there. It turns out that the floaters in my eye were on the front of the aqueous humor, and when they rinsed it out to put the new lens in, the floaters went away. So, I mean, all in all,
that's
it was
great.
Just great.
Right.
Absolutely wonderful result, and I already sent a message to the hospital saying, you know, this is a really good eye surgeon, and, you know, give her a gold star for me.
So So, yeah, so there are two capsules. When you have the anterior capsules replaced, when they do the lens replacement, but
yes.
You still have the posterior capsule. And then, like, what can happen is sometimes the posterior capsule can be cloudy or opaque,
I don't have that.
But, yeah, not right now. Now, I didn't either. I had the multifocal lenses done, which I've been very pleased with in general. But my left eye is now getting kind of cloudy. I'm probably going to have to go back and do. And what they do there is it's a relatively quick in-office procedure where they use a laser simply to incise the membrane of the posterior capsule to admit more light, and that takes care of the posterior.
Okay, it does sound minor. How long ago did you have your cataract surgery?
April of 19, I think it was. So but right now my left eye is. I wasn't 100% sure they had the lens right for the left eye. So I was a little leery of having the capsulotomy because I think, that makes I think the replacement of the lens a little more difficult, a little more touchy. And I wasn't comfortable. So at some point, I will probably have to have YAG, YAG laser capsulotomy. I might have to have that done. And because when I initially had them done, I had 20/15 vision, and which is a nice change of pace.
Yes,
very cool thing.
Well, I went with the single focus lens. I looked at the multifocus lens designs. There were two of them, and both of them seemed to be optical compromises made for vanity for people who don't want to wear eyeglasses. But I really don't care.
Well,
so I got the single focus, and I told them set it for distance, and I'll just wear cheaters for the close up. And I got some progressive.
Well, and I do that to some degree now, but I don't think the only motive is vanity. There's a lot of convenience involved, in my work and stuff like that. If your forehead in the summer, if your forehead's sweating and you're up close and your glasses are sliding down your nose and stuff, there are a lot of, it's not absolutely mandatory. It's wonderful to have. The correction done.
Yeah, well, I noticed that using my cameras and telescopes with my right eye, it's now amazingly clear. And, the depth of field is really more than I expected because my right eye is set to focus sharply at distance for driving. But I can see this computer screen here in front of me just crystal clear.
Right. And it's amazing how your brain correlates and resolves all that stuff.
There's a lot of image processing goes on, not just in the brain, in the retina. There's a lot of processing going on there as well.
Right, yep, and it's, did you get the optimal resolution of the images? So that's great. All right, well, congratulations. Oh, one last thing, and you probably touched on this already, was Thursday was Kamala Harris's faux pas in the DMZ in Panmunjom, where she referred to our strong and enduring alliance with North Korea.
Yeah.
I take it you probably covered that.
Yeah, we covered that. I mean, whatever mental disorder Joe Biden has is apparently catching.
And I can't imagine. There must have been a Twitter of laughter that went through the people present, and she's probably wondering what that was about. But, I mean, that's just amazing to me. And one other thing that bugs me is, the American command of the English language is just getting abysmal these days. Even among people who are supposed to be educated or journalists and things like that, it's just amazing. We even have little grammar apps to help fix that kind of stuff. But I'm just staggered by just the number of mistakes that people make in speaking. It's so nice to hear, like when Lord Christopher Monckton used to come on talk radio about the Green Agenda stuff and everything. It was just so nice to hear someone speak who was eloquent and used good grammar. And it was like, oh, it was such a breath of fresh air. But meanwhile,
amazing you say that because I'm noticing on the websites of the corporate media, CNN, Associated Press, and so forth, I do see grammatical errors all the time. But then they're covering it up by saying that good grammar is a symbol of white supremacy.
Right, and you're a big mean pharisaical jerk if you say anything about it. But I like Eddie Izzard, the comedian, one time said, You know, when somebody said something about two languages in one head, you know, nobody can think at that speed. And he says, well, the Norwegians speak four languages and smoke marijuana.
I love Eddie Izzard. He's just amazing.
Yeah, his early stuff was great. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. We have open lines, 512-248-8252. Actually, we're coming up on a commercial break. We have a caller waiting on the line, and we'll be back after these few words. So stay tuned, and the music is going to start right about now.
Congress is working on another short-term continuing resolution to fund the federal government until December. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. For the 43rd time since 1976, Congress has failed to adopt a comprehensive federal budget for the fiscal year 2023, which begins on October 1st. Let me say that another way. In the past 46 years, Congress has passed a complete and comprehensive budget on time only three times. In 1976, the national debt was $620 billion, which is about $3 trillion in today's money. The national debt today is over 10 times that amount. Maybe passing a complete and comprehensive budget on time is one of the keys to getting a handle on the national debt. One thing is for sure, a 6% success rate does not inspire confidence in Congress. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. Sivas Pashem Parabellum.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
Welcome back to our show, last segment of our program today, and we're going to go to Mike in Kentucky. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking earlier about that pipeline, and I'm sure you've probably talked about it. I haven't looked to see if it's on your webpage, but back in 2015, there was an explosive-laden drone, and I kept waiting for you guys to mention that story.
We did mention it earlier in the show.
Right, but the guy that was talking about it kept talking about submarines and stuff. Well, you don't need a submarine if you got a drone. The one that was found, though, the explosive-laden drone, I guess the cable that was supposed to set off the explosives somehow got cut or broke.
Yes.
So the thing was a target by that evidence alone, you know. But the photo on this one story from pipeline-journal.net, it looks like it's concrete. I mean, so portions of it may have been encased in concrete for whatever reason, mm-hmm. you know, to protect it from ships hitting it or who knows. I mean, but, it obviously it has to remain flexible, and concrete loses its flexibility over time. I mean, we can see that on our infrastructure in this country. But for some reason, the article, which it sounds ridiculous, says it's ruling out sabotage. The Swedish military has successfully cleared the remote-operated vehicle drone that was rigged with explosives. Well, why was it put down there? It doesn't make any sense.
That seems silly to rule out sabotage. I mean, it's not exactly like that's a normal piece of construction equipment.
Well, this is being passed around on social media, and a lot of people don't notice that the article's from 2015. But to me, that points toward the thing being a target for a long time since it was
absolutely. There was that other incident where the CIA bragged about wrecking another Russian pipeline by hacking into the control computers.
Well, you remember the snap, crackle, and pop of all the cables that isolated, I think, Iran and Egypt.
I remember that.
There's even a Wikipedia page on it. But it was right before they were to set up the oil bourse to trade in anything but dollars in Iran. So that was an odd coincidence, wasn't it? Like the 300 cables go. Yeah. Anyway, that's all.
Absolutely unbelievable coincidence.
Yeah. Like so many other things. Have a good evening.
All right. Thanks an awful lot here. We're coming up to the end of the show. Getting into guns and gun rights, a while back, Joe Biden made this ridiculous comment that the bullet out of an AR-15 travels 5 times as rapidly as a bullet shot out of any other gun. And, of course, that is utterly ridiculous. And conservatives and gun rights publications said, no, it doesn't. It's not even the fastest compared to, like, a typical hunting rifle. And yet he went on out and made that claim again, despite being debunked. So I guess his motto is, if at first you don't succeed, lie again. And it sounds wonderful in the media. AR-15's bad here. Vice President Harris came on out with this comment saying that assault weapons are designed to kill a lot of human beings very quickly. Sounds to me like that's exactly like abortion on demand. So apparently killing people with abortion is good, killing people with an AR-15 is bad. And actually, I think both are bad, but that's something else entirely here. Meanwhile, a little bit of good news. Down in Mexico, a judge has dismissed the $10 billion lawsuit against U.S. gun manufacturers who were being sued by the Mexican government for trafficking the weapons across the border and into the hands of drug cartels. Well, the gun makers didn't do that. The government did during Operation Fast and Furious. Okay. All right. The show is over. There's the music. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins is taking the microphone tonight. Please spread the word of republicbroadcasting.org. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please continue to donate, especially right now. What Really Happened could use a little assistance balancing our books for the end of the month. And we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
There, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.